Welcome in to episode 2 of the Point to Post podcast. I'm your point guard, Toby Miller, along with the postman, Coach Eric Sweet. Sweet, how you doing on this fine afternoon?
Doing wonderful, man. Just back at it here in episode 2 to talk a little basketball. We're going to get into some games today about us coaching, which I'm excited about doing here in a little bit.
Absolutely. Can't wait to jump into this. So we're going to talk a little bit about 2 games that we have coached in the past, give you kind of an inside scoop as to what the coaching staff was thinking, what the atmosphere was like with the players, all the things that go into a high school basketball game, and hopefully some high-level ones, Sweet. Hopefully we picked out some ones that keep the interest, especially of the Huron Tiger faithful and the Oak Harbor Rocket faithful. So, Sweet, I'm going to let you kick it off. What do you got for us in your first game?
Well, I've been at this game coaching-wise a little bit longer than you, Toby. I feel like your dad sometimes because I'm so old. But been through a lot of games, went back and found some good ones. I hate to say that, but I am older than you. I try to be younger, even though I have all these grays in here. You know, we can't all be the young guy like you. But first game I'm going to pull up goes all the way back to 2020, and actually it is against your Huron Tigers. This was an outstanding game. It was a fun game. You want to talk about atmosphere. Going to Huron, and if you're not from this area, you've ever been to Huron, that gym may be one of the loudest in the area. Would you agree with that, Toby?
I would agree with that. I think we have a great home court advantage, and I think you'll see some of that in my clip too, but nothing like the jungle, man. Nothing like it.
The jungle is not a huge gym, and when it gets full, it gets warm, it gets loud, it echoes in there. I went back and rewatched this game film, and there was times I'm watching myself on the sideline just screaming to try to get my kids to know what the heck we're in, because that place gets loud. And it was a great atmosphere that night, and I'll explain why here in a minute. But, yeah, the jungle, I guess we'll refer to it as, since it's your home court there, Toby.
Absolutely. 2020 Huron Tigers and Oak Harbor Rockets, if I do recall, I don't want to steal your thunder.
Nope.
Both at the top of the league, right? I mean, that was this is a big game that you're about to show us.
Huge game. So we'll start off with this. So my team just got off of a great football run, went to the Final Four in football. So we had a late start. Huron came to our gym, game 2 for us Rockets. It was game 6 or 7 for them. They got us in our gym in overtime by 2. It was our second game. We were 1-1. It was a tough loss for my kids, but we learned from that game. So now, yes, going to Huron now, going to the jungle. It was Huron was 13-2. Oak Harbor was 11-3. We had 2 losses in the league. They had 1. So it was a must win for us to stay in the race of leagues and racing the league title. And you know how hard it is to win league titles. It is not an easy thing to do. I don't care what league you're in the high school, college, or anywhere. Winning league titles is something that's very, very difficult. Would you agree?
I agree. And there's a sense of familiarity with each other. Everyone knows that's coached at any sort of high level. Those in-conference games are always brutal because everyone knows what you're trying to do. Everyone knows your personnel. There's bad blood. It's everything you want. It's the whole reason you play athletics.
It is. And another thing I loved about this game was I got to know some of these Huron players because my guys played ball with them in AAU. And that's something I love about AAU basketball. You get to play with these kids around the area. And I remember in high school too, you get to go play against your friends that you played spring ball with. And we were talking today about how long spring AAU basketball is, but the friendships you make carry over into high school. And I remember talking to the kids before the game, just ready to enjoy it. And it was enjoyable. And especially for me, since we ended up winning.
That's awesome. Anything that can enhance the experience, we're here for on the P2P podcast.
Exactly. So we'll start with this. So we end up winning the game, like I said. We did not take the lead, Toby, until overtime. We played behind the entire game. We tied it and then went to overtime, and that's the first time we took the lead was in overtime. So when I want to say – this is one of my best wins of my coaching career. I'll also follow up with, this was probably one of the worst coaching jobs I did. And I am going to, this is players being players, I promise you. So we'll start with this, bud. So the Rockets were down 14 to end the first quarter. They were still down 14 at halftime. We come out, we cut it to 12. We're like, okay, we're right there. We don't get to double digits. We're down 20 in the third quarter with 3 minutes to go. Like,
wow.
We were shooting the ball terrible, passing the ball terrible, and I was drawing up things that, looking back, like, that was a terrible play to draw up. Because we were just, like you said earlier, we know each other. Me and the other coach at Huron at the time, we knew each other very well. We were friends. That we scouted each other. I remember before this game, I had to share this. We had like 160 clips of what Huron ran. And you know for a fact, they didn't run enough. Like, they didn't run a ton of things back then. He was a great coach. They knew what the heck they were doing. But end of the day, he let his players play. We had 160 clips for scouting purposes, man. That's ridiculous. Like, that's a college-level scout right there, isn't it?
Absolutely. 160 clips, that's a heavy helping right there, the Huron Tigers.
Well, like I said, you know, we're both sitting there with one or two losses in the league. I mean, it was a must-win for us. And so I think early in the game, we got caught up and stuff, and we were worried about what they were doing, things of that sort. One of my favorite stories out of this game, though, was at halftime. Like I said, we're still down 14. One of my toughest defenders I've ever coached, Clay Schulte, we were talking about switching because they used to run like a four-out, one-high. I call it the Michigan stuff where, like, they'd set a flex or a curl screen between the four and the five-man, pick and pop, things of the sort. But we were talking about switching it, and I remember at halftime vividly, he's like, "Coach, just let me guard Drew Wenis. Like, he's killing us." At one point, he had over half their points. And he was just flat out killing us. And he's like, we were talking about it, talking about switching, and he just stopped me. He goes, "Coach, I got him." And those are the things that, like, I'm not afraid to admit. Like, I'm a coach, and I want to be a player's coach. And I think that's part of being a player's coach. I'm not going to force the issue if my kids want to do it. And he was adamant about it. And his intensity is what sparked us to kind of get going. And so that was big. But a lot of coaches are hard with that. And, you know, you're in your first year. Did you ever have a player challenge you during halftime like that?
I'm really big on player empowerment. And I think there's no better example of empowering your players than making adjustments according to what they're seeing on the floor. There's a lot of times when I'm coaching where there's a timeout or something, and I'll flat out ask them. I was like, "What do you like on offense here of our, you know, 3-4 base offenses?" And I will go with what they tell me to. At the same time, players have to earn the right to be empowered. You have to do right by each other. You have to do right by yourself, do right by your coach, and you get that empowerment. If Clay Schulte wasn't that dude, you would have told him to stick it where the sun don't shine. We're going to switch that and figure out a way to stop Drew Wenis.
Exactly. All right, so there's a couple plays I want to bring up here as we talk about this game. Obviously, we're talking all late quarter situations here because, like I said, we were down 20, Toby, with 3 minutes to go in the game. There were two plays that were huge for us that came off of free throw opportunities. This is something I rep in practice, is free throw box outs. And we had two possessions where we got the rebound off of a missed free throw and were able to find a wide open guy for a big time 3-pointer, which one of them put us down 9, another one put us down 6. And then another 3-pointer, which wasn't off of a missed one, actually tied the game. But back to back. We had two offensive rebounds, kickouts, or 3-point shots that, you know very well, when you hit a 3-pointer, it is a huge momentum swing. Now, I also understand that the game of basketball is a make or miss league. And when the Huron Tigers were up 3, they have a corner 3 to shoot. And it rattles in and out. Like, you want to talk about luck, Toby. You have to have some luck to win games, correct?
Correct.
This thing hit every part of the rim imaginable. We bring the ball up the court. We have a simple little go screen, kick it to a wing. The kid gets fouled on his 3-point shot and swishes it, no call. This ties the game and sent us to overtime. Here's the end of the game. Jack Alexander drives in, kind of gets a tough floater. Huron pushes the ball, Toby, gets a quality look at the corner 3 or wing 3, and they miss it and sends it to overtime. And in overtime, we're able to get to the foul line a tremendous amount of time and take over and win. The crazy thing is, and this is something Coach James probably was appalled by after the game, we shot 21 free throws to their 8. And so in overtime, I know they only scored 2 points in overtime. We hit a ton of free throws. But those couple clips there were just big-time moments in the game. And actually going back and watching it, it's awesome watching my dad was actually able to see my dad in the clips. He's up screaming, coaching. And so those are things that I look back and just enjoy thoroughly.
Basketball enhances relationships, and I think it's cool that your dad was standing up. He was just as invested as you were, invested as the community was in that sort of game. It's a great basketball's a great unifier. It's something that's really special, and it has people aligned toward common goals, and that's something we rarely see in the world anymore. So that's really cool. One thing to piggyback off of that I do want to say is there's no better time to take a three than on an offensive rebound because everyone's not matched up, everyone's collapsing toward the basket. So offensive rebound, if you can't go back up with it, fire it out, get yourself a nice look at a three, shoulders on the rim, knock it in.
Well,
you agree with that, Sweet?
as the post player of this podcast, there is nothing better I love than jacking threes. And I have, the last couple of years here at Oak Harbor, have just fired the three ball as a program. And people, like I have players all the time, Coach, I wish we could shoot like you guys do. I encourage my kids to shoot the basketball. And I actually want threes more than twos. And you're right. Off an offensive rebound, kick out, wide open three, nothing better than when you hit that three. And that game we had, like I said, he had two of them. And those are big points when you're down 14, 12, 10, 11, and you're fighting your way back into the game. We end up making, 10 threes that game. Huron made 11, so we were pretty even at the three-point line. But those were two big threes we needed. And obviously the corner three they missed, you saw that, how it rattled out. That's just pure – that's some luck, man. Like, you need that shot not to go down, and it didn't. And so – we were able to come back and win. I remember after the game sweating profusely, talking to my dad, like just saying, I wish I would have done this or this. He's like, Eric, stop. Like, you won the game. And so great atmosphere. I mean, the crowd behind me, and that's something about the Huron. A lot of people, you know, other gyms understand too, but my crowd was directly behind my bench at Huron. So when we were down and struggling, it was pretty quiet. But when we kind of get coming back, that crowd got loud, and it was a great atmosphere that night and fantastic.
That's an awesome first one to share, Sweet. Way to kick us off strong. You always have a propensity to do that for us.
I got a lot of games in my head, I guess. Getting older is causing me to watch a lot more basketball.
It's a good problem to have.
It is.
So mine's a little bit different. You talk about age and having all this experience and all these games and this and that. Mine's the exact opposite. So the one I'm going to talk about is my first ever game as a high school varsity head coach.
Let's go.
So we're going to play St. Mary's, and we are coming off. So to give a little context here, we lost 91% of the scoring from the previous year. There's a reason Coach James left. That's what he always told me. He was going to go out when he thought the cupboard was going to be a little bit bare. And so we had some guys that had an experience, but I firmly believe that we had a lot of talent and ability. We just didn't have experience. The preseason was a little tumultuous for us just because, like, you were at a football school, so kids had a playoff football game. We got to the basketball thing a little bit late, but I'm telling you, in our last scrimmage before we go to play St. Mary's, we scrimmaged Colonel Crawford at home and got absolutely worked. My kids will tell you, it was a very humbling experience. We just got physically beat up. We gave up offensive rebounds. We gave up easy duck-ins. We were getting hung up on screens, just out physical. Shout out Coach Sheldon. He does a great job. They're like that every year, I swear. They're just a really well-coached program. But after that loss, I really tried to get after them and up the intensity and the energy and tell them, like, we have an expectation that we're going to be good, even though we maybe do lack a little bit of experience. So there was a good amount of energy and focus in the locker room, even though the morale was kind of flatlining at that point. And so I'm going to share that to create some tempo for our guys early. I thought really good crowd, new coach, good environment. I wanted some easy things early, but I wasn't comfortable enough having us press or trap anything because St. Mary's had two senior lead guards who I was concerned about, two really nice players, Garrett Jackson and Braylon Harris. Braylon ended up not playing in this game, but what we decided upon was I watched a lot of Edison film, which is where Coach Hammond was at before St. Mary's, and they ran a lot of wing ball screens. And so to get that tempo, what I decided to do is we were going to trap the ball screens. And trapping those ball screens really gave us a lot of energy and a lot of pop and allowed us to get out and transition, as you can see in some of these clips here. We're doubling the ball screens. We're getting on the floor for loose balls. We're feeding off the crowd. And it's nice when it's early in the season. You can – You don't know the scouting report as well, so no one knew who the heck Charlie Hardy was. Charlie went on to nearly beat the school record for made three-pointers. He hit 5 threes in this game, 17 points. We were also fully healthy in this one. You can see Cody Scroggins was a really important player for us. He had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 steals, and 4 assists in this game, kind of a do-it-all guy. It was awesome. We were making extra passes. We were getting guys at the rim. Jackson was rebounding for us. We talked about him in the previous episode. Really nice post player for us. And then the biggest, like, coming out party for anybody on my team was my point guard, Tommy McDonald, who really went from being kind of like an undersized JV point guard to a guy who set the table for us in this opening night. Tommy finished with 12 points, 6 assists, and 7 rebounds. And when the radio talked to me after the game, I made sure to really pub Tommy because he's been through a lot. And we really needed him to step up and be the engine that drove our offense. And he did that in the opening night. So that was a memory that I will always hold dear to me, was my boys just completely taking over and completely running with all the energy and all the excitement and playing the way they knew how. So couldn't be prouder of them.
Here's the beauty, Toby. As a head coach now for 15 years of my 18 years of teaching, I still remember my first win. And for me, it it took a lot longer than the first game. So congratulations on that, man. Like, the first win as a head coach is the hardest one, and it's the best one to get, because all of a sudden you feel like you question yourself, but you feel once you get that win that what you did was the right way to do it. And so congratulations on that first win of the season, man. Being the first game also that you head coach, you probably were a little nervous. Palms were probably a little sweaty, but that's outstanding that your boy showed up and got it done for you, man.
I can't speak to how thankful I am that I had this particular group in my first year. They made it special. I just had really, really good kids who needed some cohesiveness to be brought together. They needed to be taught how to be varsity basketball players. They needed to be taught how to be leaders. And I needed to be taught how to be a head coach. And we kind of helped each other out and kind of grew together. And it was awesome. Like, that's a life lesson and an experience that I will hold dear till the day that I die. Sweet. Real quick, before we talk about the next game, what is your opinion on doubling ball screens? Because that was one key that was big for us in that game, and we didn't do it all year. I thought they were going to run a lot of wing ball screens from watching him at his previous stop.
Well, one thing I wanted to feed off of that you were talking about was creating tempo. And a lot of coaches or even players or fans think that when you create tempo, you have to press and you have to be crazy. And they think of Shaka Smart and, you know, 7 seconds of havoc, and you got to get all this stuff going on. Well, that's not always tempo either. Like, you can create tempo for your team in different ways. And you nailed it, dude. I think doubling ball screens is a great way to set tempo against certain teams. And you nailed it. Edison, with Coach Hammer, ran a lot of wing ball screens. He brought that to – and for our listeners, it's Sandusky St. Mary's, not St. Mary's Memorial, down over by – or south of Lima, Ohio. This is up by Cedar Point, Sandusky St. Mary's. They run a lot of wing ball screens, you're right. And so that doubling created tempo for you. And people think you have to press, and you don't have to press. That double that you came off the ball screens helped your kids to go. And by rotating hard and jumping passing lanes and getting some steals, then they were able to get out and run. And that's a simple way and a great way for you to create tempo with your kids.
You know, anytime I can get a compliment from somebody as good looking as Eric Sweet, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. But Sweet, why don't you get us out of here, man? We talked about one game each, but.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening to episode 2. We talked about 2 great games of our coaching career. Both of them mean very big things to us, being your first coaching win, being probably one of my biggest wins as a coach. But end of the day, thanks for listening to the Point to Post podcast, where, like I said, every post player wants to be the point guard, and every point guard needs to go post up a little bit to get tougher in the lane. So thanks everybody for listening. This is Toby Miller and Eric Sweet, Point to Post podcast, signing out.